Holy Spirit be my guide. Of myself I can do nothing. Seems it's always been my pride, shutting out what you've been offering. Holy Spirit, you decide. I don't know what anything means. I keep looking to the past to define what couldn't last when it's only now that's real. Holy Spirit, you decide. For I know you're always here. And when I listen with my heart and quiet my mind and let go of my fears, what could I be afraid of when I live my life through you? For I know what I'm made of, and you are eternal truth. Holy Spirit be my guide. I don't even need to know what the question is or why. Holy Spirit, you decide. Holy Spirit be my guide. Holy Spirit, you decide.
Thank you. Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine, that is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of the one source, child of light, divine. I'm the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Always great joy, because that is truly your divine birthright. Even when you are amongst the dishes, the cooking, all of the details that allow the bodies to be comfortable, you are the great ray of light going forward, collecting to yourself the love and the light of other ones who have said momentarily that they will activate a body, so that there seems to be definition and separation, and yet there is not. It is my great joy to be able to speak with you and to talk about the theme that you have chosen for this week's gathering, the interdimensional self, the self that is not identified with any dimension, any reality, lowercase r, the self of you which is truly your divinity, the creative pool from which you draw all expressions of self, knowing that truly you are the spirit that activates, that dictates, that organizes, and says what you will experience, and then you take it to heart and mind, and you ask of yourself, what is this all about? Why am I this size? I know that many of us, myself included, wanted to know, what is the physical body all about? How does it work? Because I was born as a babe in arms. Well, that was after I was born. Yes. And I grew in stature and in wisdom. The same as you. The same as you have been doing all of the years of this lifetime. You have been growing in the physicality, and you have been growing in your understanding of who and what you are, and in the joy of expression. Now, I know sometimes the joy has come in the form of the encasement of some sorrow, questioning, wondering, what is this all about? Why is this all about? Even the four-footed ones will ask of themselves from time to time, what is this all about? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? They do ask, you know. They are very conscious beings, and they wonder, what is the sound that the humans make? What are they trying to tell me with this sound? And they do not interpret sound the same as you do, but they do the mind-to-mind understanding. And quite often, if they are not wanting to be in accord with the mind, of mind-to-mind, you think they don't hear you. But in truth, they do, and then they make choice. And they can be, as you have experienced, quite independent, making their own choices. And yes, we will speak of that on the morrow. We have been speaking about accessing, consciously accessing, that interdimensional space. And we spoke of various ways, avenues, to access it, one being meditation. When you go out in your mornings and you stand upon the grass, you hug a tree, you speak to the birds that are flying around, that is a way to understand all of expression and then to be in that quiet space that allows you to access the underlying existence. We spoke of using various chants to get the mind out of the way. And you experienced that on the last previous evening, the most beautiful musical chant. But you do not have to have anything intricate. You do not have to have anything that would require the golden coins even. Anything that allows the mind to get so bored that it turns off will allow you to access the underlying divinity. I would suggest another technique, which is a most simple one. You can use a word or series of words that you repeat over and over and over and over and over and over and over until you get very tired of it and the mind switches off. I would suggest that you use the expression, yellow pages. Now, yellow pages, most of you know what yellow pages are. Some of the younger ones do not know because they don't have to access the yellow pages of the phone directory. You can take any expression, any series of words or a single word, and repeat it so many times that it is as unconscious, that it comes as an unconscious response. And it comes to the place where you do not have to think about what you are saying. You just repeat it over and over and over to the place where the mind gets tired and turns off. Because as we have said many, many times, the way to accessing the divinity, the underlying source, capital S, is through the heart, not the mind. The mind wants to be in control. The mind wants to ask the questions and answer the questions. The mind wants to be always thinking and to be in control of everything. But in truth, when you want to throw open the doors and windows of consciousness and you want to come to that place that knows peace, if you use something quite simple, any word will do, and over for 10 minutes or longer, to the place where it is not making any sense at all. You're not having to mentally tune into it. And breathe. Breathe peace. You will find that you are automatically breathing. You won't have to think about it. It will be there. And you repeat the various word or words to take you to the inner consciousness. That is why in some of your, what you call in this day and time, the Eastern practices, there are the chants. And they are done over and over. And you maybe have wondered why. And it is to get the mind out of the way. It is to focus upon the sound at first, the words, which truly do have meaning, but then to go beyond that. So that is why I have suggested that if you remember and want to use something as innocuous as yellow pages, allow yourself to say yellow pages over and over for 10 minutes. And remember to breathe. You see, techniques for becoming one with self, with the divinity of self, are very simple. You don't have to have a degree, academic degree of some sort. There are many within your society who have degrees as long as your arm, and they feel this entitles them to the accoutrements of robes and all the other things that perhaps are seen to be spiritual. Now, in truth, everything is spiritual. And they gather to themselves all of the outer to suggest that which has always been. Any of your small ones are as divine when they are born as they are when they reach the age of the centenarian, the 100 years. The mind may get a bit busy during the 100 years, and the mind may say, well, I have read all these books, I have studied all this history, I know this book of the Bible, I can repeat it from beginning to end. But the divinity of you is simplicity itself. You do not need an academic credential that is as long as your arm. You don't have to have the paper to put up on the wall of your office to say how great you are. Know you how you recognize a great one? Joy and a smile, an easiness of self, of being. Just being in joy. Knowing that truly you have always been taken care of. You will always be taken care of. And you do not have to struggle to be taken care of. No matter what happens to the body, the spirit of you is alive and fresh in every moment. And that is your true nature. So you find something simple. You sit with it for 10 minutes, 20 minutes perhaps, as long as you feel you want to spend with it, to the place where you are not thinking. You are abiding, breathing, and abiding. It is as simple as that. And that in itself is a prayer to the Father, Mother, God of you. that connection. Prayers do not have to be words. Prayers do not have to be lengthy. The most wonderful prayer is a smile. Easy. The joy of the heart comes forward with a smile on the face. Then ones come up and they want to know, well, what are you smiling about? What is so good? And you say, everything. Everything is a gift. And I am the recipient of every good thing. So in this evening, I have a good thing to share with you. My most wondrous companion, Mary of Magdala. I first met Mary, I will tell a wee bit of history. I first met Mary in what you now call India, the country of India. We were both there to study with masters. And we, at one level, did not know this was going to be happening. At another deeper level, yes, the soul had agreed before the incarnation that we would meet up and that we would find joy in being together, which we did in our studies. And then we returned back to our previous location, geographical locations, and felt a connection of the heartstrings. But it was not yet time to come together. That was another chapter in the story, but I will allow her to tell you that. Was it love at first sight? Yes. Was it love at last sight? Yes. Is it love now? Yes. You have felt this. You know this feeling where the heart opens and you feel at one with another one, seemingly another one. And there is great rejoicing. And then, after that, comes great questioning. How is this going to work out? You all seek to know love. Why? Because it is your nature. Because it is your home. And you all want to return to that place of home, how it feels to be home. So you want to love. You want to share. You want to journey together. And as I have said many times, it matters not what the body looks like, or what gender is going to be. I have joked about it and brought it right down to the human level that the plumbing does not matter. It is the heart, the feeling of the heart. So, I will allow my heart mate to share with you. Beloved friends, companions, friends from many, many years, we have traveled, we have walked together, we have shared much of human life, we have shared all of the conditions of human life. You have prayed to me many times, you have prayed to Mother Mary, but you have also prayed to me. And every time you have called to me, I have answered every time. For truly, I knew a small one, and you are not so small because you are, every day you are gaining a bit in the stature. But I had a small one who grew and I loved. I traveled as Yeshua has said to you. We met in India, studying with masters who had much to share with us. And we study the ancient texts, the ancient writings of the masters that had been preserved for us to study. Because at any point in time, and I know that Yeshua has shared with you that time is not linear, but at any point in time, ones want to know, who am I? Why am I? And what am I supposed to be doing? So I was sent by my uncle, who was very well endowed with the golden coins. He had many ships that went as far as what you now call Great Britain and to the mines that were in that land, and would bring back the cargo of minerals and sell them. And he had much of the what you call money, the golden coins. And so I was raised in his household. My mother was his sister, and her mate was in what you would call deceased through an accident that involved a very huge boulder, and the body did not come out of it very well. So that my uncle took in my mother and I, took in me. Try to get your grammar correct here. It's difficult, is it not?
Man messed up all
the time. Right. Well, at least you know my meaning. Yes. So that from a very early age, I knew comfort. I knew luxury. I knew ones that would take care of me. Anything that I wanted, I would just have to voice it, ask, and it was there for me. So when I became early 20s, and I wanted more studies. I wanted to know, I had more questions than had been answered. And so I was sent to India to study. Okay. Fast forward, as you say in your language, fast forward several years. I came back to my uncle's home, and I wanted to go out on my own, and I said to my uncle, I would like to have the experience of living in the village that surrounded his home. And so he said yes, because you see, I was given anything that I would ask for. I knew that life was easy. At least it was right then. So he said, of course, that will further your studies and your understanding. And he gave me a small home in the village. Now, it wasn't much, but it was, as you would put it in your terminology, a roof over my head. Okay. This opened up a completely new chapter for me, because I lived in the village with other ones, and I saw how other ones lived and how sometimes they went hungry. And sometimes the little ones came one year after another until there was quite a family, a lot of mouths to feed, and there was not the foodstuff to feed them. I had never seen lack up to that point. I never knew that there could be such a thing. But I experienced it in the village. When I would walk and go out in the roadside of the country, I would see ones sleeping at the edge of the road. And I wondered, well, why do they not go back to their houses, their homes, and sleep there? And then someone told me they do not have a home. So they sleep in the field. And if it is warm, that is okay. But if it is cold, they are cold. And I marveled that ones would have to live this way. And I marveled that the body would sustain itself on very little grains of rice. I had never known that the body would be at the place of hunger and that there wouldn't be anything but, if you were lucky, a handful of perhaps the grains, rice, whatever you want to call it. I experienced the women who earned some of the golden coins by allowing the menfolk to have their pleasure. And this was how they could get the golden coin to buy what they needed to buy for food and to keep on sustaining the body. And sometimes they were well treated and sometimes they weren't. And I talked with them and I said, well, why do you live this way? How did you come to be here without a home of your own, without a family to take care of you? And they said, this is the way my family has always lived, in the fields. This is how my mother got some of the golden coins to buy the rice for us. I have never, she said, I have never known anything different than being in the nature out of doors. And there was a feeling of enjoyment, freedom, in being not constricted, but it was also questioning, where am I going to get my next meal? But for the most part, the women accepted this as a gift that they were able to give to the men, and in exchange, they would get the golden coins to buy the foodstuffs. And yes, the small ones came forth once in a while, uncalled for, uninvited, I guess you can call it. It was a chapter in the book, several chapters, that I had no clue about before I lived in the village. And to the women, the ladies who I met in the fields, what I had as a very small house was like a palace to them. So I invited ones, if they wanted to come and live with me. That was in the beginning. Then there were too many, and so I bought, with my uncle's money, another house, a larger house, for the women to be. And they did not have to every night service the men in order to have the money for food. They could do other things in the village, or they could be with the men if they wanted to, because there was not the judgment that you know in this day and time, and has been even more strict in other centuries. And they saw what they did as a gift that they were giving to the men. Yes, it was in exchange, but they also saw it as a service that they were providing. So it was not seen to be in the judgment that has come in other centuries. However, it was not an easy life. And so I was able to provide for them a place that they could call their own and work through their personalities, because whenever you have a group together, a group even as small as two, there is some accommodation that must be made in the friendship. And so they there were some who found it constricting to live in the house with other women, and they preferred the fields. So this was an eye-opener for me to see. But the thing that was the biggest eye-opener for me was the joy that some of the ones who did not have the possessions, the simple joys that I thought were necessary for ease of living, important, that I took for granted when I was living with my uncle, there were other gifts, things that they valued, friendship and trust of each other that they valued, and I could see why. There was much of, I would say, expansion of my understanding, much learning that was not in books, much learning that was not in the manuscripts that I had been taught to copy and to read and to meditate upon. This was meditation in action. It was, as looking back on it, it was time for me to take what I had learned and put it to good use. I made many friends. Some of you are here in this room. Some of you knew me in that time, and the friendships have come down through the ages as you understand time and exist even yet. Now, as to the menfolk, some of the men were quite happy that the ladies had a dwelling place. After a while, it was more than one dwelling place. And they would come and visit and take the woman out or stay perhaps some time, a length of time. Some of the men were not happy that I had taken their special ones out of the field and perhaps given them a little bit more freedom in saying yes or no. So there were some men who were not quite happy with this new change in the society. They wrote, and they, as you have in this day and time, they influenced other ones. You would say they influenced policy. And they, from time to time, wanted to put rules as to which women could be there, etc. They tried to organize. But the women would have none of it. And they said, if you want our favors, let us live here and give us the right of understanding that we have choice. Now they had choice. So you have writing in your holy writings, the collection that is known as your Bible, that speak of me because it was written by men, and they had been told by their fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and so on, all the way back, that what I did was not right. So you have your writing in some of your holy writings that say that I was one of the women of the night and that I consorted with ones of lower caste. I did not see the women of lower caste. I did not see any of us in a certain gradation. I understood that because of my uncle and what he had done and his father before him, that we had the means to have the large house and everything that we could ask for. And we had ones who lived in the house and were what you would call now the servants, but we did not see them as servants. They were our friends. So you have a mention of me, but not especially a favorable one. But the background to the story, I have just told you. It is because it opened my eyes to what was in the world in a different way. And I knew that I had the means to change some of that. And so I did. I knew Yeshua as a young man. When we met in India, there was the instant attraction brought together. Later, he knew of me. He knew what I was doing, and he knew why I was doing it. And he found me, and the love that was and still is between us flowered. And we did what you do in this day and time. We made a commitment to each other, and we had a wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony that he changed the water into wine because we ran out of wine. And he knew, as he has explained probably to you, that to make wine, all you have to do is to put it forward in time, and the grape juice becomes wine. And his mother, Mary, we became good friends. She said to him, we have this wedding party going on, and the guests are asking for more wine. And she knew that he could make what seems to be a miracle and make more wine. So she asked him to make more. And he did. But he wasn't exactly happy about it because he didn't really want it to be known yet. I'm not quite sure. But you may have noticed, those of the female gender sitting in this room, that the men are a little bit, now this is in generality, not every man, but they are a little bit slower to come around to what the female gender suggests as a good idea. It takes them a little bit longer, sometimes, not always. So I can't quite make a generalization out of it, but there's some evidence to support it. So, yes, he was married. Yes, I was his wife. Yes, we had a child. We actually had more than one. So that a clue, as he has pointed out to you, in your holy writings, in that he was known as rabbi, in order to be a rabbi, you had to be married and probably have the small one, at least one, that would signify that you were past the adolescence, that you were a man with wife of a rabbi. Okay. So you have clues in your holy writings if you know how to interpret them. You know Yeshua's story of his teaching and sharing how you create moment by moment your reality. And he taught that. He taught that death, as it is called death, is not final. He knew this, and some of you who played with him as a child growing up knew the, we will call it resurrection, I suppose, of the small bird that seemingly had released the body. But the spirit was still around, as happens with human form. The spirit goes nowhere. You can talk to that seemingly deceased body, and the one you have loved is still there. So be careful what you say. Be kind. So those of you, and there are in this room, ones who knew him in growing up time, you saw that he could do what would be called miracles. He taught that reality is not hard and fast, just one way. Reality, lowercase r there, is malleable, changeable. It can be changed by your knowing, by your belief. Not just your wishing, but your belief. It will change things. So, of course, he attracted some criticism. And because he was teaching that the ones in the temple, the ones who took to themselves a lot of power and worldly authority, they did not care for what he was saying, because he was saying that everyone is a child of the Father, God. And what he could do, you could do. And he came right out and said that. And so your more learned ones, in quotation marks, ones who were seemingly authorities on things, this kind of took them from the plateau where they were down to the commonplace of everyone. They didn't like that. So they had to get him to be quiet. So they talked with him and said, hey, you know, what you're teaching doesn't really help us. We like the old order where you have the learned ones and you have the teachers and you have all the different levels, etc. And we like to be at the top. And he said, but all are equal. They didn't like that very much. So you have the story of the crucifixion. You have the story of the resurrection. And yes, of course, he resurrected the body because he had done it from an early age with the bird, and he had done it with Lazarus, and he had done it with others not named in your holy writings. And as he has often said, he had good press about it. In other words, the stories went far and wide. So more and more people came to see him and to hear him and to try to catch hold of what he was teaching. So after the resurrection, there was the edict that went out that any of his friends, close friends, were also to be done away with, because they were also spreading the same stories about how you are divine and you can do miracles. And some of them were doing some miracles. So it didn't seem quite the best thing to do for his friends to stay around. And because this brought up questioning if he was seen to be activating the body, to be alive. So he and I and the child that we had, we stowed away, with my uncle's permission and knowledge, on one of the ships going to Britain. And that started our travels. We didn't go as far as Britain. We went to France. And at the first port of call, we left the boat and went into the village, into the countryside, and were taken in by friends. We knew that we could make for ourselves whatever we needed, and so we did. And we stayed in the village for some length of time until it became obvious that we weren't aging the same as the villagers were, and questions were coming up. And we tried to share the information, the knowledge that we knew, but sometimes it was received, and other times it became then a distancing, because they saw us as something supernatural, and then fear arose. So we had, in our talking with the villagers, the story that we had relatives in another part of the country that we had to go visit. And so we moved on. We did quite a bit of moving on. But this was good because we enjoyed the different villages and the people. And sometimes there were the orphans, the ones who did not have someone to look after them. And we took them in. Our family grew. We had biological family, but we also had many of the village children if they needed to be taken care of. So we had quite a large family. And when we moved to another place, they came with us. Or if they were old enough, they could stay and not move. It was a very wealthy life. Wealthy, not so much in the golden coins, but wealthy in friendships. So that is as far as I will take it this evening. We knew that the body does not have to decease. So we did much of the travel, many of the years, because we enjoyed living. We enjoyed being in the villages. We enjoyed the friendships. We enjoyed finding whatever experience we could do that seemed to be out of the ordinary, because we knew ourselves to be drawing from that which you are studying this week, the interdimensional power. So we drew from it, we created, we went on, we enjoyed. And yes, we did write. There are some scrolls that have been hidden away in what you call the caves in certain locations. That's just a teaser. I would say that it was a wondrous life, but that would not be accurate. It is not finished, so I cannot say it was. I will say that it is, because it is ongoing. What you are doing in this time that you are together, what you are doing in your lifetime, this lifetime, is opening to possibilities, probabilities, and then the truth of your being. You have said, I have known that which was taught to me. I want to now know more. So with that statement, that desire, it is being provided for you. And there will be more and more adventures, more and more discoveries that you will discover that which is true, that which is ongoing, that which is eternal. Your power, the creative power that you draw from the interdimensional divinity. And while you are doing that, laugh often, hug often, smile, enjoy, live in joy, live in love. So be it. She is saying that she would like to reach out and hug each one of you. Yes, the feeling that she has. She has... Oh, okay. She says she's not finished. Okay. Not finished. She has a message for you. Now, I'm sure you're not surprised at that. Nope, not exactly. Not even a little bit surprised by that, hopefully. I know you know. She has said she wants you to, there is something that you can do. You say, well, so much of me doesn't do. But you still can speak. Yes. you can speak into what is called the machine that writes at the same time. It either records or I think it'll make a writing of some sort. Write, she says, from your heart. Write what you know. You have much that is up here to be shared, much that you can speak. You don't have to have the rest of the body. You don't have to walk. You don't have to run. You have yet enough to push a button, and you have much that is up here and much that is here. And you have lived a certain length of time. She's saying he has great knowledge to share with other ones who think that their life is restricted. But life is never restricted unless you say it is. And your life is not restricted. Look at that. See? You know that. You saw that from the very beginning. You saw this part alive. You saw this part speaking truth. And yes, I'm sure there are days when you question. And that's okay. Write about that too. Give hope to ones who think that their life is over because they can't pole vault or whatever. She's showing me this pole vault. Okay. Write. Speak. Get it into writing. What you have to share is important. And yes, you have enough time, she says. You have enough time to do it. You know the chill bumps you get? Yeah. Do you get chill bumps? Oh, good. Fantastic. I didn't know that was going to happen. Okay. I think we are concluded. Okay. Okay, remember tomorrow, Hurricane Ridge, 9 o'clock.